Thank you. I appreciate that. That goes a lot of work into learning how to play, so praise the Lord. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to start off in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 27. Sunny nights the last few weeks, not last Sunday because of our special outdoor service, but the previous Sundays. We've been on Sunday night going through and talking about the silent killers. And if we're going to, according to our theme that we've been preaching and teaching through, stand for the Lord, we've got to eliminate the things that would hinder us from standing. Amen? And let me tell you what hinders us as Christians from standing. Real easy answer, sin. Right? And sin. And a lot of times, you know, in our minds as Christians, you know, we rate sin. All right, on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, the worst of the worst down to the kind of the bad sins and the little white sin. Let me tell you something, folks. When it comes to sin, sin is sin. Amen? And we need to, as Christians, make sure that we eliminate these in our life. Now, the sins we've been talking about and concentrating on aren't necessarily the outward sins, but they're the sins of the heart, the inward sins. And let me just tell you right now, when we talk about these things, you know, they don't have the shock factor of some sins. But let me tell you, they're just as deadly. Amen? And we need to understand what the Bible says about these things. And by the way, if they weren't important, God wouldn't name them. Okay, but God knows us. God knows our nature. He knows what we're capable of. So He's going to give some things in the Scripture that give us some warning. So we're going to look at some of these tonight. We might get to three. We're for sure going to talk about two. We'll just see where we get. So if you find your place, Proverbs chapter 27, and I'm going to read one verse to you here. So stand with me if you will. Proverbs 27, verse 4. I'll read this one verse. I'll pray, have you be seated, and then I'll read another verse. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. I pray that you'd help us as we open your word. Lord, look at some principles and some warnings. And Lord, help us, Lord. I pray again, Holy Spirit, that you'd be very specific as you deal with us tonight. If there's things in our lives that we're participating in that we should not, I pray that you would convict us about that. And Lord, I pray we get right on those things. And Lord, help us as Christians. Lord, we know we'll never be perfect till we see you, Lord. But that's no excuse for us not to live the victorious Christian life. That's no excuse for us not to have victory over sin. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think you're able to pick up on what the first two we're going to talk about there in the beginning of verse 4. Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous. These two sins are, if you want to say this, they're sister sins. They go hand in hand. That is anger and wrath. Anger and wrath. Let me read another verse to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." There's just certain things that as Christians, amen, God said, you know what? That's not what we do as Christians, okay? You did that before you were saved, but now that you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, amen? Behold, all things become new. And the two that we're going to kind of do a message on tonight, a word study, a Bible study on, are the sins of anger and wrath. Anger and wrath. Now, let's define what these are. What's the Bible talking about? Anger in the Bible means the inward feelings of displeasure and annoyance. Okay? Now, let me just say this. Anger in of itself is not a sin, per se. It doesn't have to be a sin, but it's how we display that anger. By the way, there's some things you ought to get angry about. Amen? Right. By the way, the Bible, there's a lot of things where placed in the Bible where it says the wrath of the Lord was kindled. Okay? God got angry about some stuff. God still gets angry about some stuff. And so it's not necessarily a matter that the very definition of anger itself, but it's how it's manifested. Or who should I say it's manifested to? Okay? And so we'll get into that. So it means a inward feeling of displeasure and annoyance. Anger manifests itself on our countenance. It literally means, this is interesting when you look it up, flaring of the nostrils. To breathe heavily. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Listen, folks, you can't improve on the King James Bible. All right. And so, well, something's easier to understand. Just forget that garbage. Amen. The King James, that's the book, the Bible. And it says that the flaring of the nostrils. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Somebody gets mad. Everybody's got their own little, you know, facial tics, if you will. All right. I always remember as a kid, when I worked for Pastor Ross, I always knew when he was angry because he always did the jaw twitch thing, right? You know, the jaws flexing in and out, and the flare. You know, I'm talking the flaring of the nostrils, the breath. Come on, kids. When your parents sit there and you hear the breathing change, your breathing's about to change, right? And we know all that is. All right. And although anger may be felt and seen, anger does not necessarily become action. Anger is the inward part of it, okay? It's the emotional part of it, if you will. But then wrath is anger in action, all right? Wrath is the outward display, either in words or actions, driven by the anger we feel inside. Now, wrath is more dangerous than anger because it's anger unrestrained, usually manifesting itself in an act of violence or vengeance. Amen? Let me tell you something, folks. What's going on in our world right now, I cannot believe the things that people literally are taking other people's lives over. I mean, the most ridiculous, I mean, stupid. I mean, the thing that I heard something the other day, something about, I'm trying to remember what it was. So, I don't know if it was something to do with a drive-through, a restaurant drive-through. Someone got mad and shot and killed someone. I mean, what? I mean, come on, folks. But that's the day and age we're living in. Amen. That's what this world is ruled by. And so let's talk about these. Let's talk about the danger of anger and wrath. Unmanaged and undisciplined anger and wrath will cause a person to act foolishly and sinfully. And there's many, many biblical warnings about this. First of all, the Bible says this, that your spirit should not be ruled by anger. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. It says this, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Man, I love that verse. Amen. I mean, a person that's quick to anger, I mean, we would call it flying off the handle, blowing your top, that type of thing. God says, you know what? If that's you and you're quick to anger, you're a fool. Amen. That's God's word about it. Anger that simmers just below the surface, always ready to explode, will keep you from handling situations wisely. Wisely. Amen. If your first go-to emotion is anger, you know what? Then you're not handling the inward part right. All right. We need to ask ourselves this question. And this is a good question. What am I really angry about? Because truth be told, folks, people who live that way, that always fly off the handle, it's not necessarily the person that's receiving the blunt end of their anger that they're angry at. There's major issues that they're truly angry over. And you ought to ask yourself, you know what, God, what is it I'm really angry about? And then, you know what, take that to the Lord. So your spirit should not be ruled by anger. How about this? Wrath is cruel, and no one should spend their life cruel to others. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel. That verse we read, wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. If your anger is outrageous, okay, constantly spilling over into wrath, I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. People that are around you are the ones paying the price for it. Talked to you dads this morning, and talked to you about how that you set the tone for your home. And I would say this is true also with ladies. But you know what, dads, if you're always have an angry spirit in your home, let me tell you, your family's walking on eggshells around you. And by the way, that's not the way a home ought to be. Amen. All right. You shouldn't have that type of tone in your home. You shouldn't have set that type of, you know, everybody's got to walk on tiptoes because nobody knows when the littlest thing is going to set dad off. That's not the way we ought to be living. Amen. Why? Because wrath is cruel. Wrath is cruel. The Bible's very plain about this. No Christian should spend their life committing acts of cruelty upon those around them. By the way, that kind of stuff, it's not a joke. There's a lot of people they want to do things like this and then blame it on, oh, I was just kidding. I'm going to tell you something. When you act this way and you're cruel and you're wrathful, it's not funny. Amen? It's not a joke. It's nothing that you ought to be messing around with. How about this? Wrath is a burden that will eventually crush you. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 27:3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. Imagine every time you wake up, The first thing you must do when your feet hit the floor is to pick up a 30-pound stone and balance it on your shoulder. Or perhaps a 50-pound bag of sand and heft it on your back. And the entire day, you're required to carry that. Every task you perform, every job you attempt, you have to do it while carrying this heavy weight. Now think about how that would hinder you. Think about how that would break you down physically and emotionally. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't make it very long. But you know what? That's what wrath is literally doing to you. Isn't it time to find out what's really at the root of the anger? And this really, truth be told, ties right into what we talked about 2 weeks ago, and that's bitterness. Amen? Let me tell you, most angry people that eventually show that out in wrath, you chase it all the way down to the core, it's bitterness. They're bitter at something. They're mad about something. Amen? And so you need to figure that out. Again, if these are things you're dealing with. By the way, I'm not downplaying this. Amen? There's legitimate situations out there that people have been exposed to or it's happened to them that can cause this. All right? I'm not saying there's no hope for you, but you need to face it head on. Amen? Now, there's a Bible illustration of someone who lived by this and the great cost that was paid for it. It seems like we've been using this as a good Bible illustration lately, but it's a good one, amen? And why improve on what God's already pinned in His Word? And that, of course, would be the story of Cain. Because the Bible gives us clearly these words, and then we see the outward action of what happened because of that. I won't have you turn there, but let me just read a couple of verses to you here. And you know the story. I've taught it to you many a times. When it came time for Cain and Abel, when they become of age and for them to begin their own relationship with God, a part of that was bringing the sacrifice. Amen. Again, just as I said this morning, what was that sacrifice about? It was a picture of the coming Lamb of God that would one day come. By the way, what was God's requirement? A blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we know that Abel brought the right sacrifice. He brought a lamb. Cain didn't bring a blood sacrifice. All right, he brought the fruit of the ground. He was a farmer, and he brought what he thought God should accept. And you know what? As you've heard me say before, God don't make deals with anybody. You either come God's way or no way. And you know what? God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. You say, well, Cain was sincere. I'm sure he was sincere. But sincerity doesn't necessarily make it right before God. Amen? And what happened when God rejected it? Here's what the Bible says. And Cain was very wroth. Not just wroth, not just put off a little bit, very wroth. And it says his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The first mention of this sin in the Bible is the story of Cain and Abel. Again, folks, Cain here thought that God should accept it his way. God should do what he wanted him to do. Folks, listen to me. The more and more Christians seem to think in our day and age that God's the one that needs to change, not them. Okay? If they want to do something the Bible condemns, then God just needs to accept it. God needs to get over it. Well, let me just say, that kind of attitude, you know what that brings? Judgment.
Right. Yep.
Discipline. Yep. If you're a Christian, let me tell you something. God, as one of His children, isn't going to let you get by with foolishness. You know why? Because He's a good Father, that's why. You step out of line with God, the Bible is very clear about that. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, He's going to break out the discipline. Amen? By the way, that's what good parents do. They discipline. They don't let their kids get by with things because they're trying to teach them. They're trying to train them. Let me tell you what discipline is a proof of. True love. That's what it's a proof of. And you know what the Bible talks about? How that God will discipline. Amen? He'll bring chastisement to our life. And you read that there in the book of Hebrews. You know what? If you don't listen to God's chastisement, then He ups it a little bit. Okay? He goes, He takes it to the next level. And if you still don't listen, God knows, by the way, God knows how to get your attention. We talked about this morning about God bringing earthquakes in our lives, the spiritual earthquakes. All right, fine. You get stubborn with God, I'm going to tell you, God will win that battle. I promise you that's true. All right? Look, here's a news flash for us all. You ready? God isn't going to change for me or anybody else. The Bible's not going to change because you don't want to obey it. Cain was foolish to become angry at God. By the way, think about this. Think about how merciful God was to Cain. I mean, when Cain copped an attitude with God, God had every right to just, boom, be done with him. But you know what? God showed mercy. Did you notice that part of the verse I read to you when it said, sin lieth at the door? Let me tell you what that meant. That meant the offering for sin. That literally meant that the right offering, the blood sacrifice, was right there. All he had to do was accept it. By the way, think about this for a minute. Where do you think that lamb came from? You know what I think? I think Abel overheard what was going on. I think Abel maybe saw what Cain brought and his heart dropped, thinking, uh-oh, that ain't going to work. And I think maybe Cain or Abel may have overheard that conversation and thought, man, I'm going to help my brother out here. I don't want him to go down that path. And he brings the very own sin offering, and it's right there waiting for Cain. All he's got to do is accept it. But no, Cain's stubborn. Cain has anger, and anger boils over to wrath, and he murders his own brother. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You say, well, I would never do that. You allow bitterness, anger, and wrath in your life, it's probably unfathomable what you're capable of. I mean, come on, folks. What do they call them in the court of law? Crimes of passion. You didn't necessarily plan to do it. It wasn't premeditated. But it was something that, man, you snapped and you did something out of passion. I'm going to tell you, folks, prisons are filled with people that have anger problems. Okay, they won't deal with them. And by the way, just not lost people. I mean, I've myself been the brunt of other Christians' anger. Let me tell you, folks, that does not glorify God. It's not a sign of spirit-filledness. I can tell you that, spirit-fullness. It's a sign of the flesh. Let me tell you something, it ain't fun for anybody. And so we got to get victory over that. Well, praise the Lord. God tells us how to get victory. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. God doesn't just say not to do it. He says, let me tell you how to not do it. Okay? The Bible gives us some clear steps on how to get victory over anger and wrath. All right? Here you go. Number one, you'll like this one. Slow your roll. Write that down in your notes. Amen. I don't think I've ever said that as a point. All right? What am I talking about here? The first step to gain victory over anger and wrath is to learn to slow down the anger. Okay, here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is of hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I told you the story before. When I was in college, I played for a couple semesters some intramural sports. And my freshman year, I decided to play flag football. And actually, it's more like, that's where the term flackle comes from, okay? It was supposed to be flag, yeah, right, okay? Come on. Bunch of young college-age boys down a football field, you're looking to flay somebody out, all right? But I remember before we would play a game, the athletic director would come out, meet with both teams, and we quoted the verse, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and that without walls. We quoted that before we played sports. You know why? Because he wants us to understand, listen, we're out here to compete, we're out here to have a good time, we're not out here to lose our tempers. Okay? And I remember that. Let me just say this, folks. You know what you've got to learn to do? Rule your spirit.
Amen.
Rule your spirit. By the way, you say, well, I can't do that. You're right, you can't do that, but aren't you glad you have somebody living inside of you that can help you rule your spirit?
Amen.
Okay, let me tell you something. If God commands it, you can do it. Because he gives you the power wherewith to accomplish his commands. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us as Christians. We need to stop making excuses and start doing it God's way, leaning on God, obeying the Word of God, and doing what God says for us to do. Amen? Listen, rule your own spirit. Okay, if you feel that coming up inside of you, that anger that's going to boil over into wrath, you know, the best thing to do is walk away. Keep your mouth shut. Amen. What's the old thing I always tell you? God's giving you protection for that, right? Remember, double protection. If you literally got to clamp it down, shut it off, okay, do it. Amen. Okay, slow your roll down. Quit getting so worked up about stuff. So just at the drop of a hat, getting angry, getting wrathful. Number two, stop being controlled by the flesh and instead surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Now, we went through these and we talked about these, I believe it was last year, as we talked through the fruit of the Spirit. But the Bible clearly mentions some things here. In Galatians chapter 5, I'll read a couple verses to you here. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? By the way, guess what's on that list? Wrath. Work of the flesh. Amen? Not a fruit of the reborn spirit. Okay, wrath clearly is part of the flesh. But the contrast to that is the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? We know what they are. There's nine of them. We already talked about them. We've talked through them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. By the way, almost every single one of those has some attribute of controlling anger and wrath. Love, right? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, all those things. Amen? And that's why the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? You have the right relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, and He's in control of your life. You know what? You won't do what your flesh wants to do because you'll obey the Spirit of God. Listen to me, church. Stop being controlled by the flesh. Okay? By the way, that's good for the pulpit, and that's good for the pew. I ought to hear a lot more amens when I make that statement, by the way. So let me try it again. Stop being controlled by the flesh.
Amen.
There you go. Amen? I'm going to tell you, it's difficult. It's hard because we live in the flesh as far as our life. We got to deal with it every single day. That old man, one of the two things I'm most looking forward to, getting to heaven. Amen? Well, maybe not just two. There's a lot of them, by the way, all right? But the two things I think about the most. Number one, first and foremost, to see my Savior for the first time. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. I literally sometimes lay in my bed at night imagining it and thinking about it. To me, you know, sometimes in our minds, again, I've told you my mind's kind of crazy, how this crazy mind works, all right? But thank you, Brother Mike. First amen he said all day right there. But to me, there's the what I call the ultimate things in life. To me, that bring would be the most satisfaction I could ever have, okay? And this may sound weird to you, but that's all good. Y'all know how crazy I am, okay? But to me, the ultimate of the ultimate of the ultimate is to see my Savior for the first time. Nothing brings me more joy when I think about. Nothing brings me more satisfaction. Nothing sometimes, sad to say, brings me more shame. Nothing sometimes brings me more motivation than when I think about seeing Him for the first time. Man, it's going to be amazing. I'm getting excited thinking about it. Amen? So number one, seeing the Savior. And then right up there near the top of seeing my loved ones and all that, you know what it is? Getting rid of the flesh. Oh, man. I'm telling you. I've heard you, we've talked about this before. But the person that's going to give you the hardest time every day is the person you look at in the mirror at every morning. Your flesh, oh my goodness, if you do not walk in the Spirit every single day, crucify the flesh, you will not live a victorious Christian life, period. Ain't going to happen, amen? You say, well, I just feel, that's the problem, okay? We do what we feel like doing, not what's right to do. Okay, amen? Listen, quit letting people push your buttons. Quit giving people power over you. I mean, come on, if you're getting angry at a drop of a hat, let me tell you something. You're giving the people that, well, you know, because we want to blame others, of course, instead of blaming ourselves. But if a person makes you angry, why are you giving them that kind of power? Amen? That's why you got to deal with this stuff. Stop being controlled by the flesh. Amen? Surrender to the control of the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Again, talking about that relationship we ought to have with the Spirit. And by the way, you know what? A lot of Christians grieve the Spirit. Okay? We get to the point where we live in such a way to where He's not pleased and He's not happy. We could even go so far as quench the Spirit, and we could even go so far as to lie to the Spirit. Okay? So the Bible clearly commands, don't grieve the Spirit. You say, well, how do I not do that? He's going to tell you how. You ready? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You want to please the Spirit of God? Keep this stuff away from you in your life. Amen? Number three, and this kind of goes along with what I just said. I got ahead of myself a little bit, all right? Don't let people bait you into losing your temper. You know there's some people in life, okay, surprise, surprise, that thrive on drama. Did you know that? Okay? All right? No husband say amen right now, please, okay? I don't want to do a bunch of marriage counseling after the service, but no, it's true. Okay? By the way, I know a lot of men that are just as dramatic as women. I can tell you that. They just thrive on drama. You know, they just have to keep the pot stirred. All right? Now listen to me. I'll be honest with you. Life is busy enough. Okay? Why would you want to do that? I mean, life is hard enough. Why do you want to constantly be stirring the pot, living life, you know, this drama, that drama? Okay? All right? Don't let people bait you into losing your temper. Some people will try to do that to you. Okay? Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, I love that. But grievous words stir up anger. Okay? Don't give people the satisfaction of getting a rise out of you. Don't give them that satisfaction. Listen, be spirit-controlled enough, okay? Be have enough common sense to understand what people are trying to do, okay? What it is they're trying to... Listen, folks, there's a lot of master manipulators out there, okay? That are always trying to manipulate their way and say a certain thing or do a certain thing. There's only one person that ought to manipulate you as a Christian. That's the Spirit of God. Okay, don't be manipulated by people that are trying to make you lose your temper. Okay, let me tell you, the best thing you can do, man, this is good. All right, give them a soft answer. They're trying to get you riled up. Don't allow them to get you riled up. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Learn to answer kindly to unkindness and maturely to immaturity. Again, folks, listen, by the way, every time someone says that to you, may not necessarily mean that they're a bad person. Maybe they're just having a bad day. You know what? Sometimes there's been a few times where I've been in a restaurant and just had horrible, horrible service. I mean, literally, it's just like beyond ridiculous. You know what? I never, ever, ever take a person like that and turn my anger or wrath onto them. You know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to think to myself, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day. I remember one time my wife and I were in a restaurant, and it was pretty bad as far as the service was. So I called the manager over, and I said, "Ma'am, listen, I'm not trying to complain. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. But, it's been over an hour since we've ordered, and we haven't got our food yet. Would you care to check on that for us?" Well, when our waitress came back, you could tell she got talked to by the manager. And, you know, she didn't treat us the greatest the rest of the night. But you know what? I still left her a good tip. By the way, you know what I left along with that good tip? A gospel tract. And she came back and she says, she found us as we were walking out. She's like, "Sir, I don't deserve this tip." I said, "Ma'am, listen to me." I said, "You probably just had a bad day. You've probably just gone through something." Tears begin to well up in her eyes. Okay? I said, "Listen, it's okay. Okay? Listen, if I don't get my food when I think I ought to, it's not the end of the world." Okay? Why are we not living like that? The other day, me and the boys were loading up a job at Menards for a customer, a carpet job for a customer. And they were coming out to load, and it took them a while or whatever. And you know what they said to us? Okay, of course, it's pretty funny because not everybody, but I'm getting to know a lot of the workers out there. They know me as the preacher. Okay, I got a reputation out there. And but they come there like, "Wow. You guys are like one of the only carpet crews that don't get mad if we don't have your stuff out here right away." And here's what I said. I said, "Man, life is way more important than a bunch of stupid carpet. Let me just teach you philosophy in life, okay? People are more important than things. People are more important than our stupid schedules. And I know we got to live by schedule. I get that, okay? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Quit sacrificing relationships, opportunities to reach people for Jesus Christ, because you don't get things your way when you think you ought to get them. That is not the way Christians ought to be living. Okay? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and in his glory, it's his glory to pass over a transgression. Think about that. Man, what a statement. By the way, you start doing a word study on that. You know what that word discretion means? It means intelligence. Deferreth means to draw out, to set aside. Here's literally what that verse is saying. The smarter you get, the more you realize you don't have to respond to idiots. That's literally what that verse is saying. The more mature you get, the smarter you get, you start realizing, you know what, they don't even deserve a response. Okay? Discretion. Amen? Listen, folks, as Christians, that's why we ought to be growing in our spiritual lives. Okay? That's why we ought to be treating people different now than we were a month ago or a year ago or 2 years ago. Because we're growing spiritually. By the way, let me tell you, one of the greatest tests of your spiritual maturity is how you treat people. Okay? It's one thing to be a Christian within these walls. Okay? It's another thing to go out in that crazy, whacked up world we're living in and put your Christianity to the test out there. That's when the rubber meets the road. Your Christianity, truth be told, is not really proved a whole lot here on Sundays. It's proved Monday through Saturday in that crazy world. That's where true Christianity is proved. Amen? And you know what? Just like this morning, we talked about Paul and Silas. If we want to impact people more for Jesus Christ, we've got to start being more spirit-controlled and behaving certain ways. Amen? How about this? Number four. Don't let things build up in your life. Let me give you what that means. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Again, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now again, be angry and sin not. So you know what we learn from other places in Scripture? You can be angry and not sin. Because there are some things worth being angry about. Okay? When people blaspheme God, that makes me angry. Okay? When people are down in my Savior, that makes me angry. Amen? When I see the craziness and people destroying their lives with sin, that makes me angry. Amen? Not necessarily at them, but angry at the devil, angry at sin, angry at the direction, the disaster that's going to happen if people don't turn to the Lord. Okay? But be angry and sin not. And how do you do that? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Listen, you're not always going to be able to avoid anger, but you can keep it from becoming sin in your life. Let me tell you what I'm big about, okay? Is this. Don't let sin go unresolved. Don't let it go unresolved. Okay, it's like a snowball, all right? It starts real small, but the more it goes, the more it builds, and before long, something like this that shit can be dealt with fairly easily, turns into something like this. That's a lot harder chore to deal with. Okay? Listen to me, folks. Get things resolved. If you need to make something right with the person, then make it right. Amen? If you need to make something right with the Lord, make it right. Listen, don't go to bed with unconfessed sin in your life. By the way, you're not guaranteed you'd even wake up the next morning. And do you really want to face the Lord for the first time with a bunch of unconfessed sin in your life as a Christian? Amen? So listen, don't let things build up, all right? Keep a short account with the Lord. And as Christians, let's keep the sins of anger and wrath away from us. Now, for sake of time, I don't think I'm going to do it tonight because I want to give it proper justice and spend proper time on it. But I'll just go ahead and give you a hint. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the next silent sin, and that's the sin of malice. I don't know if I've ever heard a message on malice. Okay, but we're going to talk about it, Lord willing, next Sunday night. Let's